Hey guys, welcome. Jim Manning here with the Passive Wealth Show. What this show is designed to do is to help people build passive wealth investing in real estate so that one day they can replace their income. And I get it. You've worked hard for your money and you've figured that part out. Now, figuring out what to do with that money and how to have that money work hard for you, that's a whole nother ball game. So, and as you're going down this path, navigating who you can trust, who you should stay away from, what content you should consume, what content you should ignore, can be a bit of a challenge. And at the end of the day, I'm here to tell you that you can invest into real estate from your couch in a way that's just as passive as buying a stock on the stock market. You can take a retirement account from your IRA and invest into real estate too. And you can set yourself up to have more passive income than what you you're used to making on a day-to-day basis at your job. So for those of us that have achieved true passive wealth, we don't have to be concerned about running out of money in retirement or having money left over for our family after we die, or heck, even what the economy or the stock market's doing, because our passive income is out there generating us money each and every month that we can then use to spend. And this is what I call true diversification. Not the diversification that your financial advisor pretends is a diversified portfolio. This is actual diversification. And know a little bit about the subject. Our team here has generated 100% passive income on over $250 million invested with us over the last 15 years. And we've done over 3,000 real estate deals. And actually, I've founded three multi-million dollar real estate companies. So I'm here to share some of the lessons that I've learned along the way to pay it forward for all the help that I've received over the years. So onward and upward, my friends, here's the true passive wealth. Let's get going on the show.
And what we present ourselves as is the most simplistic food franchise model.
How many stores are you up to now?
Yeah, 2022 was our first one. We ended that year with seven. We went from seven to over 70 in 12 months.
Hey guys, Jim Manning here. I am interviewing Bennett Maxwell, founder of Dirty Dough Cookies. And, I thought I'd have a little fun. I don't know, Bennett, if you've ever done this, but I chat GPT'd you to get all the dirty dough secrets and information. And here's what ChatGPT has to say about Bennett. So Bennett Maxwell is the founder of Dirty Dough Cookies, a cookie franchise known for its unique stuffed cookies that offer innovative layers and fillings. Maxwell has positioned Dirty Dough as more than just a cookie company. It's a brand with a mission. The company emphasizes mental health awareness and community support, aiming to make a positive impact through its business practices and product offerings. Oh, goodness, we got a lot to unpack here. I am super excited to have you, man. And if you're checking out this for the first time, the Passive Wealth Show here, this is part of a segment called The Next Chapter. And what I realize is that we have over 130 partners now that we're walking down the path of financial freedom and building passive wealth, many of which already are financially free, but there's others on the journey. And what I'm looking to do with this segment is interview successful entrepreneurs like Bennett that have already exited, already sold a company, and kind of are in the next chapter of their life. And in Bennett's case, he started another company after he had his exit, right? And others maybe retire and just dig into like what's life all about to you now, support you all on your passive wealth journeys that are listening in. So Bennett, thanks for coming on. I appreciate you. And let's get going. Tell us a little bit about you, man.
Yeah, I'm in Utah, grew up here. One of nine kids, single mom. I was seven of nine. And there's seven boys too. So it was a unique upbringing that taught me really the skills that I'm using right now. Like from elementary, it was selling candy bars, in the backpack till we got kicked out. Then it was on the corner. And I say we, me and my brothers, and then shaved ice and lemonade stands, snow shovel. I was selling snow shovels door to door. And it was just like, if you want something, go figure out how to get it. And that skill set really propelled me. I started doing Cutco knives right out of high school. I served a 2-year Mormon mission, a lot more just knocking and learning communication, which led me to door to door. So I was doing pest control and I started building teams, which led me to a solar company. That was my first company. And it was pretty short lived. It was a year in, I had the opportunity. I was an investor into Dirty Dough. So it was a cookie company selling cookies out of an apartment in Arizona at ASU. he posted online that he wanted an investor. So I invested. He opened the first storefront. And then about a year into it, I was like, dude, let's franchise this. I'm going to be your first franchisee. I'm here in San Diego. It's a great market. That's where I was running my solar company. And he said he wanted to sell it. So I bought Dirty Do. I was trying to do them both at the same time. And when I bought Dirty, it was just that single store. It wasn't a franchise yet. Exited the solar company a few months after that to really dive full time into Dirty Dough. And I love the focus. I just want to tell you that, like, cause I have a podcast and I like I focus on the, emotional and mental side of life, but specifically entrepreneurship. And I went through, you know, a little bit of soul searching journey when I sold the solar company to really figure out what I wanted to do with Dirty Dough. And I think that's really set the foundation of what I hope to build the rest of my life on.
And how did ChatGPT do? Like, were you like happy with what it said about you? Was it spot on? Like let's go into this mission a little bit. What do you think?
I feel like I asked ChatGPT, maybe it was just Dirty Dough. And the answer was it didn't know because it only knew till January of 2020. And like, I mean, our first franchise opened in June of 2022. So it's all been pretty new. Like a year ago, we had 7 stores. Now we have 70. So it's just starting to really take off right now. But no, I like it. ChatGPT knows who I am. I feel accomplished that a computer, I don't know. I liked it though. I felt like it was accurate.
How many stores are you up to now? So it was 2022 was kind of the first one. Is that, and then, what are you guys looking like now?
Yeah. 2022 was our first one. We ended that year with 7. So I think it was March of last year. We still had 7 stores. And then right now we have 60 something stores and 15 mobile trailers or like food trucks. So we went from 7 to over 70 in 12 months. I wouldn't recommend it to anybody who's listening to this, way too much. But it just kind of, you know, everything exploded. We've sold 460 something franchises. We're opening 1 or 2 stores a week right now. But yeah, that's kind of the growth. We have 40 something stores under construction, but we hope to get all 460 plus stores open in the next, handful of years.
Well, congratulations on that. What's that been like to be on a wild ride like that? What's going on in your head?
It's hell. It's exciting. It's fun. It's everything. Right when I franchised, so I bought the business beginning of 21 with the idea of I want to franchise this. I don't know food. I don't know franchising. So let's get some good advisors on. So I didn't even know what an advisory board was, learned about that. And then I started getting good advisors, got the owner of the largest property management company. There's a connection there. PMI, Property Management Inc., I think is the name. I don't know. Steve Hart, an amazing advisor. And then I was trying to get another advisor, Jill Summer Hayes, who started a company called Maui Waui Smoothies and Coffee, ran it for 30 something years, 600 plus franchises. Rather than being an advisor, she said, you need me to run this thing. I said, if that's an option, I'll take it. So I hired her as CEO right when we franchised, which was December of 21. And that's helped tremendously, finding somebody that's been there, done that in the space, getting the advisors, building the team, which really led up to another advisor who was the former CEO of Jimmy John's. It's been with us for about a year and a half. December, I kind of called him in a panic. You're asking me, how do you do it? I don't know how to do it. I'm just figuring it out. Call him in a panic. I'm just like, dude, we need more help. We're underfunded, we're understaffed, and we're growing like a freaking weed. And he said, let me come run it for you. So kind of same thing. So we transitioned former CEO over to president and then brought on Greg. And he has a whole team with him, 20 something people. It's a restaurant management group called Craveworthy Brands. So really what it comes down to is figuring out, I kind of figured out the model. Let's simplify. And what we present ourselves as is the most simplistic food franchise model. I'm going to produce the cookie for you. I'm going to ship it out to you. It's already stuffed, multi-layered. All cookies cook for the same time, temperature, and fan speed. Ovens are programmed. You could walk in any of our stores, grab cookies, put it on a cookie sheet, put it in the oven, press start. Very, very simple. And then that's, what attracted all of the franchisees, I think, along with a good team and a hot cookie market right now. And then just continuing to build that team. So it's been a wild ride.
Congratulations. That's amazing. It's it never ceases to amaze me when you get in business with the right people, what things can happen. It's like the, it's like Shark Tank where, one of the sharks will be like, hey, Give me 50% of your company. I'm going to make 3 phone calls for you and your company is going to grow by 1,000%. You know, yeah. It's like, but you know, like that journey of who the sharks are, like it was a 30 years to get those relationships and to be that person. And for you to create an opportunity like that, where you attract a former CEO of Jimmy John's, amongst other amazing people. Congratulations on that. How are you? Are you feeling like a little bit of like an imposter with all these people like on your team, or like walk me through that, man?
I get on meetings and I'm just like, what the hell are these guys even listening to me for? But honestly, since Greg Majewski, our current CEO, came on, like, it's been way more hands off. He's just moving so quickly. We're adding cookie dough, and we're adding sodas, and we're adding this and that. Like, I find out information from other employees because he's just going, and he has full permission to do that, and I have full trust that he does do that. So now I'm kind of pulling away a little bit more and to focus more on this, kind of like our conversation. It sounds like you're doing the same, which yeah. You have, not anybody can run a company, but a lot of people can run companies, right? And it's typically more rare to be able to find somebody to really tell a story and promote the business. And that's kind of my job, more of the PR podcasting. I also host a podcast. And it's something that I'm passionate about, like the podcasting, sharing the message. I focus a lot on, again, the emotional and the mental side, because it has eaten me up and spit me out. So it's like with all the crushing pressure, you kind of have to figure out mentally and emotionally how you're going to deal with that. And that's what I spend a lot of my time on. And then also sharing that as I continue down that path.
So what has been so you talk about how important that is. What was the breakthrough that you had to become aware of how important that is?
The breakthrough was when I sold the solar company. So I'm 31 now. This was just under 3 years ago. So I was 28. And I just worked all the time. I'm married. I have 3 beautiful kids that I didn't spend enough time with, and a beautiful wife that I didn't spend enough time with. I mean, it really got to the point that we didn't ever argue or fight. And for me, that was a golden marriage, because my parents were, you know, like, if you don't fight, that means it's perfect. Really looking back, I'm like, we were roommates more like because I was so separated and so focused on work. So I sold the solar company after I set this goal of I want to become a millionaire before 30. And when I do, life is going to be different. You know, life is going to be so easy and blah, blah, blah. Well, I made some money before that. I had maybe a handful of rental properties, you know, just very passive. And then now I have some cash and I checked that box and it felt great for a little bit, you know, like human nature, you go back to homeostasis of your normal baseline levels of joy, fulfillment, happiness, whatever. So I recognize that, because I said, I want to be a millionaire. I hit it. And when I do, I'm going to take my foot off the gas. Well, I hit it and I didn't take my foot off the gas. I kept working nights and weekends. And that's when I realized I'm going to do this for the rest of my life, because now it's 10 million and then it'll be 100 million and then it'll be a billion. But the point is the same. You'll reach any goal and the satisfaction isn't as good as you thought, and it's not going to last as long as you thought. So then it's switching the focus to, I guess it's what should you switch the focus to. So I started seeing a therapist and really diving into the emotional side. I read a book called Un-F Your Business that focused on like core values. I asked a bunch of family and friends what they thought my core values are. Put it in a spreadsheet, ranked it all. I wrote my own obituary. And what I landed on was joy and fulfillment. Like, that's what I'm after. I think that's what everybody else is after. And then I threw in despite life's dirtiness. One, you know, play on words with dirty dough, but it's don't wait to sell your solar company in order to find more joy and fulfillment. So since that time, it's like hard stop at 5, because I kind of caught myself in that lie. More money equals more free time. More free time equals more vacation time with my family. More vacation time with my family means I'm with my family and they make me happy. And it's like, that's all bullshit. I could just be with my family every single day. So that was kind of the catalyst of, again, reaching a goal that I had set, achieving it, and realizing that it's pretty empty, right? It's not that fulfilling. And then that's what drove me to, okay, success for me is now about joy and fulfillment, and fulfillment is all about progression. How do I achieve that? Mental health and entrepreneurship is what I'm focusing on. I think that's how you have more joy and fulfillment. And so that's kind of embedded in the company of Dirty Dough. We care about your feelings and the inside matters most. And these cookies represent life, that they're dirty and messy on the outside, but you know, the goodness is on the inside. And then that second pillar is entrepreneurship, lowering the barrier of entry to entrepreneurship. So if I make all the cookies for you and I ship them to you, you no longer have to be an expert baker. So you don't have to have that, you know, expertise involved. You don't have to buy mixers. The cost to open up the store is a lot less. So it was lowering the barrier of entry to entrepreneurship to empower other people through entrepreneurship to take control of their lives in order to find more joy and fulfillment. So I know that was kind of a long-winded answer, but that's what my main focus is right now.
Oh, I absolutely, no, I love that answer. And I, so I share this when I'm the guest on podcasts, I share a billionaire story that, I mean, essence is a very similar theme because like, I don't know why we get trapped into this. If this happens, then I'll be happy. Or if I'm a millionaire, then I'll give some money away and support charities. And the reality is like, you can if then your whole life and then have nothing to show for it at the end. And in the case of the billionaire, that it was my first job as an internship out of college. He had everything financially, all the success, and he was more miserable than just about anybody I knew, you know. And, you know, at some point, you know, you just get into the goal becomes the goal, and that's it. And, you know, then you wake up and you're older and there's no more life. There's not as much life left. Right.
Yeah.
So, well, this is fantastic. Now, how did you, so you created this this opportunity as like an entrepreneur, like how did you end up getting, crossing paths with like the former CEO of Jimmy John's and some of these other like high caliber people? Like how did you go about building the all-star team that you have?
First thought that came to my mind, Cutco knives. That's how I did it. I sold Cutco at 18 years old, and this is the sales pitch. You make $15 an hour or commission, whichever one's higher. Sweet. Sign me up. I'm in. And then you call friends and family and you say, hey, you don't need to buy these $2,000 set of knives, because I didn't believe anybody was going to buy them, but just listen to me. Let me practice my pitch and I get paid. Okay. Anybody's going to say yes to that. So then you show up and you give the pitch and maybe they buy a knife, maybe they don't. And then you say, who do you know? Who do you know that would allow me to practice my pitch on them? Write down 10 names right freaking now. I mean, it was pretty high pressured and I just did it because that's what I was taught. And then they write down the 10 names and then you say, okay, pick up the phone and start dialing. And then hand me the phone once they agree and I'll set the appointment with them. And what I'm getting at, and then that led me to a Mormon mission for 2 years, same thing. It's all about referrals and asking for referrals. So like right now we're raising capital and I have my spreadsheet and I'm tracking everything, anybody who I meet with. And one of the columns on there is who do you know that might be interested in investing? And so it's really a shotgun approach, a lot of networking. Greg specifically, it was just through LinkedIn. I have a software that you can target second connections in any state, and then you target their keywords. And I did investor, angel investor, CEO, founder, advisors. I don't know what I did, but that targeted him. And then I was sending messages, hey, we're raising capital. That's how we got connected. But I feel like I've met 100 private equity companies in the last 2 years, just because I'm always asking. I mean, that's kind of how we got connected, right? I met Dylan last week, Dylan connected us. And so I think the power of networking is huge. And I think knocking doors and knocking tens of thousands of doors for several years gets you used to the, I guess it calluses you on like worst thing that they're going to say is no, and that's it. So I'm very upfront in asking for connections. And so far it's really built up my network and made a lot of friendships.
Yeah. I have several friends that are very successful that started out at Cutco. I mean, it's a massive company, so I'm not going to do any name drops here. Maybe you know, maybe you don't, but they're all on to, they're all on to big things now. You know, is there something to be said about getting a skill set and you know, having the balls to do it? I mean, getting those 10 extra names. Wow. Yeah. That's probably was not easy as a young kid doing that, was it?
It turns out that most people don't succeed. I didn't know that though. Like, I just went and I followed the rules. I followed the pitch. I asked them for their knife. I got my knife. I'm slicing a rope with both. Like, and I was always making commissions because people actually bought them. But I didn't know that it was even an option at the end of the pitch to not ask for referrals and make them call them. Like, I'm already in that mindset because I'm just like, well, for football, in order to pay for football camp, I had to go cold knock businesses to sell a banner, which I couldn't go to football camp. And to pay for pads and all of that, I had to go sell starving student discount cards door to door. And it's just like, you just have to do it. So I think I was already in that mindset. But yeah, turns out most people with Cutco aren't successful. because they don't like that, I guess, that uncomfortable situation. I think I was a little bit numb to that at the point.
Oh, that's so great. And then on, LinkedIn, like, you know, you hear something like that, the default's like, oh, well, his dad's buddy was the CEO of Jimmy John's. And then, you know, that's how he got connected.
Yeah.
No, I just messaged him on LinkedIn.
Just hit him up on freaking LinkedIn. That's been such a powerful tool. 2 years ago, I've never been on LinkedIn. And then somebody told me about building your personal brand. So I started posting daily, got a software, and now I have over 15,000 followers, you know, several million impressions in less than 2 years. And that's actually been the primary source for our franchise sales, has been my personal LinkedIn account. So leveraging social media has been huge.
That's amazing, man. Well, congrats on all the success. I mean, is there anything we haven't talked about yet that would be important to share to our audience?
I guess a summary of what we've talked about, maybe more for myself, building a team, I think, is extremely important. And then that also allows you to work on the business rather than in the business. That's kind of a concept from an amazing book called The E-Myth Revisited. And the E is the entrepreneur myth of you don't own your business. You don't own a business. You actually just own your job because you don't make money if you don't show up. So how to get out of that cycle, building advisory boards and hiring, you know, high talent, I think is really, really good. Now one, you know, people are like, oh, that's, you know, very humble that you hire a CEO and you step aside. It's like, it's not humble. I know people don't want to buy a franchise from me. Like, who the hell am I? But they'll buy a franchise from the former CEO of Maui Waui or Jimmy John's, right? So because I have a sales background and a communication background, like, I know how to sell and I know what people want to buy, and they don't want to buy a franchise from Bennett. That's my belief. So let's get some other people inside there. And then focusing on like actually developing a mission statement and getting away from, I think 90% of us are on the wrong, we have our aim set to the wrong target because it's, I want to be a millionaire. And it's like, but we're emotional creatures. We all want $1 million because we want to feel a certain way. It's not that we want $1 million. We just think that that's the tool to get us to feel high status or worthy or whatever the hell it is. So getting outside of that mindset, if your goal isn't based on an emotion that you want to feel, it's superficial. Like, it just human nature, that's what it is. It has to be an emotion. So I think narrowing down on that emotion is super important. But anyways, I think those are all big principles that have helped me a ton.
So what's it been like having a growth like this and still being able to do the hard stop at 5? Like walk me into like what it's like with your kids and your wife and what's going on there.
There's no problem that can't wait till tomorrow. It's just never happened to me. And I don't think it's happened to probably anybody. Like, there's really no, okay, hey, the store closed and it's 5:05. And if you don't call a manager, blah, 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 the store is going to remain closed and this and that because there's nobody to replace them. Cool. The store is going to be closed for the rest of the day and we're going to miss out on some revenue and maybe piss off some customers. Who cares? Like, I mean, yes, you need to take care of that. But at the end of the day, I'm building a business so I could be with my family. And I'm going to put my family first. There's no point of building business for my family and then putting the business before my family. That just doesn't make any sense. And yet that's how I've lived my life for, you know, the first half of the career. It's just, again, nothing can't wait till tomorrow. Nothing can't wait to the weekend. And you do have to just realize like what is actually important. Even if the world's on fire and your CEO quits or whatever, it's like, it can still wait till tomorrow or it can wait till Monday. Yeah. And so far, so good. It's just, you have to kind of take that leap of faith and also realizing that I'm not that important. Like I feel like I want to be important. Like I have over 100 employees and they need me to survive and this and that. And it's like, no, they don't. Like they really don't. They've lived their whole lives without me. They don't need me. They don't need Dirty Dough. This is just an opportunity. And it's, you know, as long as it's mutual beneficial, let's keep going. But at the end of the day, I think it was realizing that I was putting myself on a pedestal of importance of, you know, business can't run without me. And that's just, yeah, it can. I have very competent people that can do it without me.
Well, that's fantastic. Well, hey, if anyone wants to get a hold of you and follow you, or what's the best way?
I have a website, just my first and last name, BennettMaxwell.com. And then that has links to social media, which trying to post content, you know, a few times a day, as well as any information on Dirty Dough. That's all on there, you know, Dirty Dough cookies. If you want to go test out a 3-layer cookie, they're pretty freaking bomb.
Buy my cookies. I love it. That's great. All right. Well, hey, I appreciate you coming on, man. Nice getting to know you. And thanks, guys, for tuning in. And we will see you next time. Have a great one, guys.
Thank you.
All right, guys, that's a wrap. Thanks so much for tuning in. We have a website, passivewealthshow.com, where you can get more great content and resources. Also, if you're curious about whether you should personally be investing in a passive format, we offer a passive profit strategy session, and you can find that on our website as well, where we'll basically ask you a bunch of discovery questions and help you figure out if investing passively is a good thing for you or not. So go to our website, passivewealthshow.com, and we'll go from there. Thanks, guys, for tuning in. Have a great day.